All right. Good morning, everyone. It is a great privilege to be here worshiping the Lord together and seeking to honor our God and Savior. Let me just mention something before we go to the text that I want to read. English is my second language. Spanish is my first language. And it is easier for me to speak Spanish. And it's very hard for me to speak in English, even preach in English. I spent more than 25 years preaching in Spanish. And very little preaching in English. So this is a time where I completely depend on the Lord for what He wants to do here today. I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians 12, if you go there, and then I make some comment, and then I tell you what the Lord is leading me to do this morning. If you're there, let's read beginning verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 12. Let's stand up for a minute and read together God's Word. Thank you. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I gave you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which works it all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jewish or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. It is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would be the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, O, have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon this we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncommonly parts as more abundant common lines. For our commonly parts have not need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there shall be no scheme in the body, but that the members shall have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffered with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. May the Lord bless His word. Father, I pray that you will bless your word. I pray that you would take a man like me with so many limitations and to proclaim your word, to proclaim the great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that Christ will be honored and glorified in everything we do. I pray that I die to myself. I pray that your Holy Spirit would take control and speak for me word of life to bring blessing to your people and honor to your name. I pray in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You might sit down. It's been almost 2 years since I have been here in Grace Reformed Baptist Church. And it's been more than a year being a member of this wonderful church. And I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the Lord for bringing me here. I came here in a very crucial time of my life. And the experience that I have at the beginning with my family up to this point has been a great blessing, a great source of encouragement, a great time of healing. And I praise the Lord. And I speak for myself and for my wife and for my children, because I do believe that every single one has seen how God and His grace has made us recipients of such a wonderful blessings. The people here has been so sweet to us, so kind. The way you received us, the way you encourage us, the way you show us Christ, made us live in this place every time we gather here together with a great joy and a great excitement and a great expectation for the future. The exposition of God's Word from the beginning, since we came, has been the remedy, has been the medication for our soul. Had brought us to Christ. The spirit in which the exposition, the preaching of God's Word has been so sweet to our soul that every time we left this place, the first coming was, that was great. That was so good. And we begin to see the great potential of a church like this. Especially in time when there's so much compromise. Especially in time when the message is watered down. And to be in a place where the voice is clear and we hear, "Thy said the Lord," has been such a blessing. Well, it came to a point when we desired to become a member of Grace Reformed Baptist Church. So we received 126 pages to read. I remember that day I was in Miami in a hotel, and I asked one of the ladies to, if it were possible, to print this 126 pages. She didn't know that it was 126. I just said, "It's a document that I need to read. Can you help me with that?" She didn't know what she was into it. And when she began to see all those pages coming out and got to a point where there was no more page, she was looking at, "This is going to be expensive. There's so many pages." And I remember reading, and then I got to the Grace Reformed Baptist Church membership covenant. And we read it. It was such a blessing. And I was asking myself why we didn't have this in our church. This could be so healthy for us. And so I read it. It came a day when I became a member. I read it here in front of you, and you, by God's grace, accepted me and my family, those who were saved, to become a member. And it has been such a blessing. But let me tell you what happened in the month of December. For some reason, the Lord took me back to the membership covenant. And I begin to read it, but now I'm reading with a different eye. And I'm looking into it very close, and I begin to feel conviction because I covered this thing with you. And the Lord showed me that I was not being faithful to this covenant. And three Wednesdays ago, Pastor asked me to teach. And I shared a testimony going through the membership of the covenant. And I would like to go through this today and share some of the areas where I just fall short. And I pray that as a result of this, you will have a better way to pray for us. My desire and the desire of my family is that we might be like Christ. But not only that, we desire that we delight in the reality that we are being changed to the image of our wonderful Savior. So let's travel to this membership covenant to which we should be very familiar. It begins like this. Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to repent, believe, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and profess our allegiance, it means our loyalty. It means our commitment. It means our faithfulness. It means our fidelity to Him, to Christ. Having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now. You know, and every time I was reading that we do now, beginning to impact it in my heart. We do now. This is what I covet with my brothers in Christ. We do now. In the presence of God, angels, in this assembly, most solemnly and joyful enter into covenant. In a agreement, in a treaty. I like that word. That's the name of the road in my house. A treaty. We enter into promise. We pledge. This is a pact with one another. As one body in Christ. And then we had verses there that give us the foundation of what we begin at this membership covenant. We have Acts 2:38, Mark 9:23, John 11:26, Hebrews 11:6, John 1:12 and 13, 1 Peter 2:6, Matthew 28:19 and 20, Romans 8:1, and I will read some of those. Acts 38, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Mark 9:23, Jesus says to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. John 11:26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And there is a question, do you believe this? Hebrews 11:6, but thou faith is with, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. John 1:12 and 13. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to repent, believe, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and profess our allegiance to Him, we enter to this covenant. I praise the Lord for His great work. I would not be here if it wasn't for the great work of Christ. You know, brothers, I would love to say that I accepted Christ, but it was not like that. He reached to my life. He found me. He did the work. He changed my heart. He touched my heart. He gave me the hope that I needed, that I could not find anywhere else. But it was in Christ what I found. True salvation. The covenant continue. We will work. The idea of work, and I'm thinking we are making an effort. That's why we've been busy, making an effort, laboring. Graft, we will graft. We will work and pray for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And by the aid of the Holy Spirit, it means the assistance, the help, the comfort of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christ's love. So, I was reading this. And I'm beginning to think, this is what I covet with my brothers, that I will work, that I will make an effort, that I will labor, that I will graft and pray. Now, this is what happened. You know what happened in the month of December? We're so busy about so many different things that we forget those things that are eternal. And I found myself not praying without ceasing for myself, for my wife, for my children, and for my church. I was not praying. I was not praying. And just reading through this, conviction came to my heart. I covet. In the eyes of God and in the presence of my brother, that I will be a man who pray for my wife, who pray for my children, who pray for my brothers in Christ. And I was not doing it without ceasing. So that brought great conviction. And to pray for the unity, for the harmony. Oh, how much we need to pray for the harmony in our home. I appreciate what Brother Andy mentioned. It begins in our home, the unity in our home. As a man, as the head of the house, I need to be the model of that unity to my wife and my children. And many times, I failed. We have a great enemy who wants to destroy families, who wants to destroy churches like this. I will say this because I've seen it. I had the opportunity to visit many churches around the United States and around the world, and I have not seen what I see here. What the Lord is doing here. It is precious what the Lord is doing here. And I think that the Lord has called this church for this hour. We look all around Simpsonville and there is a tremendous need of the gospel. And by the way, brothers, all this is about the gospel. It's not about us. It's about Christ. It says that we will work and pray for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christ's love. It is in Christ's love. We have 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, which it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have no love, I am nothing. And though I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and though I gave my body to be burned, but I have no love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek his own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether they are prophecy, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am now. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And this is the love of Christ. If I just begin to think about the love of Christ, knowing the way I am, and to know that Christ still loves me, that will help me to love others. The way it will satisfy Christ. What a wonderful truth. We read in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, in which our pastor has been preaching to us in these last several months. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness. I'm thinking of that word and the impact that it had in my own heart, because it talks about being humble. It talks about meekness. It talks about submissiveness. It talks about inferiority, which doesn't come natural. I know for me it doesn't come natural, because I'm thinking that I am somebody when truly I am nobody. And it is by grace that I'm a child of God, a child of the King. All lowliness and gentleness, the idea of being calm, tenderness, kindness. I need that. You know, it's one thing to see the faults of others, and another thing is to see your own faults. And God showed me that. Even the way I speak to my wife, even the way I speak to my children. And I begin to see, I wonder if my brothers are struggling the way I struggle, and praying that the Lord will help us to be gentle with long suffering. Bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is the blessing unity of the people of God that we read in Psalm when we read, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That is so sweet. I remember the time spent with some of my brothers here. And this is the challenge, because I know that there are some brothers in here that I have not made the effort to bring them home to fellowship each other, to fellowship to one another, to get to know each other so that we can pray better for one another. And I do think of some families over here. In fact, just a couple of days, I met one of my brother in Home Depot, and I said, you know, I just fell, brother, with you. I should have you in my home a long time ago, and I would like to have you and your family so that we can get to know each other and pray better for one another. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion. And listen to this: for there the Lord commanded the blessing lie forevermore. You know, I appreciate so much the fact that our pastor wants to spend some time with us. I appreciate so much the fact that he wants to know us in a more intimate way. He has a responsibility, a great responsibility in the eyes of God. He's responsible for this flock. So it's a blessing. It's pleasant. Brothers dwelling together in unity. The confession, covenant continue. This is continue like this: we will seek the salvation of our kindred. Acquaintance, a stranger who have not repented for saving faith in Christ, to be in prayer for the spiritual awakening of the lost in our community, and to be a faithful witness of the gospel both here and to the remote part of the earth. Are we praying for the salvation of our children? Are we praying for the salvation of our people here in our mix? We pray for the salvation of people around Simpsonville, Greenville, Fountain Inn, and all around the world. How many of you open up the letter that we received from the Julianis, Brother Renato and Terry, and Sarah, Erica, and Luke? Are we praying for that? Are we praying for that? Are we praying that the Lord will bring fruit for God's kingdom and for His honor? It was a blessing to hear what the Lord is doing there and how the Lord is providing, and the fact that He's been there for so many years and you know, not many fruits. But he's still there, faithful. Faithful. I remember hearing about a missionary who spent his life in this particular part of the world preaching great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and never saw fruit. He got to a point where he came to the retirement part of his life and he left the mission field and somebody came to replace him. And it was sometime later, very short time, that the Lord began to do a mighty work in that area. And the pastor that spent all his life there asked the young man, "What are you doing? What you have done? I spent all my life and I didn't see that." And the young man wisely responded, "I haven't done much. You did all the work." We need to pray for Brother Renato. We need to pray for the salvation of our children, the salvation of our families. We have families that they're not saved. They might be religious. They might even go to church, but they don't know Christ as their Savior. Their life has not been transformed. What a wonderful time to get together. We have our Wednesday night service where we can get together and pray together for the salvation of our families and friends and neighbors. So I ask myself, but I'm doing this. And my wife and my children know every Saturday we will step out and we will go to the flea market. We will go everywhere to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it haven't been that way in these last 2 years. So I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness. And I had asked the Lord to give me opportunity to share the gospel and begin in my own home. Just like my brother John, who said that we should be agonizing, I found myself a couple of days ago agonizing for my dear Victoria, agonizing for my grandchildren, for their salvation. The covenant continue. We will strive for the advancement of this church and knowledge. The idea of biblical information, facts. The idea that we've been taught over here to be familiar with God's Word. We need to be aware. We need to have understanding of what we believe. And I praise the Lord for a church like this. We've been blessed. And to be honest with you, I'd rather see Pastor over here than myself over here. I'd rather sit in there and enjoy the exposition of God's Word. It has been such a blessing. I mentioned, Pastor, when I came here, I felt like I was in the desert for many years. And it was so refreshing. The water that I received, it was so refreshing to my soul and to my family. I was encouraged to study, to analyze, to investigate God's Word. That is so great. We will strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort. I praise God that we emphasize holiness in here. God is holy and He wants us to be holy for His glory. To promote prosperity and spirituality, to sustain and worship ordinance, discipline and doctrines, and to submit to His leader as they are faithful to Christ. And when I got to that point, This was the challenge after spending 25 years pastoring. I was struggling with submission to my pastor. It's interesting that he says right here, very clear, and to submit to his leaders as they are faithful to Christ. So, as I submit myself to my pastor, my prayer has been, oh Lord, protect him and guide him that he stay faithful to Christ. That he will fear God more than fearing man. That he would do what God called him to do. And to do it with the Spirit, with the right Spirit, to challenge us to be more like Christ. I want that. I want that challenge. Hebrews 13:17 tells us, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. What a great responsibility. It's interesting because when I was growing up in my country, I'm originally from Ecuador, I used to hear this word, Huachimán. Huachimán. Since I didn't know English at that point, I was zero in English, I never connected that was an English word. Huachimán. We just translate it to what we think is Spanish, but it's not. Huachimán. And you know, when we talk about the Huachimán in Spanish, we would think about the man who spent all night long watching all around the neighborhood so that nobody would break in and hurt anyone. And I thought, that's exactly what our pastor is doing. Can you imagine the time when he doesn't sleep because he's thinking about us? He's thinking about our needs and he's praying to God that God will put walls around us to protect us and to stay faithful to him. So he watch out for your souls at those who most give count. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that will be unprofitable for you. I want to be totally transparent with you. I believe that has been the case for me and for my family. I want my pastor to lead us with joy. And I think that joy comes from God, and I'm responsible to make it possible for my pastor as a member of this church. I want to see my pastor to rejoice in the great calling that God has given him. Well, the covenant continues. We will contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. And we have verses in there, 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 27, Proverbs 15, 15, Job 34, 19, Matthew 5, 3, Mark 10:21, Luke 4:18, which give us the foundation of this point in our covenant. And it continues saying, we will not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, nor neglect to pray for ourselves and others, nor avoid the meeting of the church. And we have Hebrews 10:25, Hebrews 5:5, Acts 2:42 and 47. And I'd like to speak a little bit about this because I struggle with this because, you know, many times I was so busy. You knew that I was working on my house and spent 4.5 months every day trying to remodel our house so that we can move. And it was so easy to think, I got things to do. And remember God bringing conviction to my heart that even at that point when I knew I had so many things to do in there, my wife and I, my children, we decided we need to go to church. I remember times when I came, even without taking a shower, because I wanted to be here. But there was a time when I was trying to look for excuses. Let me read a little bit of the context of that passage in Hebrews 10:25. Therefore, verse 19, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Now think about it. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. God is faithful. Christ is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good words. I was not able to be here last Sunday. I was preaching in Spruce Pine. And I want to tell you the truth. I'd rather be here. But I know it's the Lord's will to go to Spruce Pine and preach the gospel to those people. What the Lord is doing in there, it is the mighty work of our Heavenly Father. And so that's the only reason why twice a month I have to be there. But truly I want to be here. And so I didn't hear the message. And so on Monday, I'm working. And doing construction work, I put my cellular through this speaker that I bought, and I'm listening to the preaching on Sunday. And that happens most of the time. Sometimes we're listening together as a family. And I heard Brother Mike preaching this past Sunday. I went to him and I told him that I was so grateful for the message. I have heard pastor preaching, and many times I have mentioned to him that he was such a blessing to us. I don't want to miss what's happening over here. I want to be engaged. I want to know what's going on. I heard this morning about my brother Matthew who went to emergency. Now I know what to pray. Because I'm here. I heard it. So now I can pray. So, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good words, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Found it interesting because I received this book yesterday. And I was called to read chapter 6, 7, and 8 for our discussion tonight. And I started. And in chapter 6, and Brother Mike, you're very familiar with this, because I think you're going to be talking about this afternoon. And this is the book called Dangerous Calling by Tripp. And this is what he says. I was raised in the Jesus and me, privatized, individualized Christianity of the fundamentalists of the 60s and 70s. The closest our church got to an actual functioning ministry-oriented body of Christ was a rare pastoral visit and the Wednesday night prayer meeting. No one knew my father and mother. I mean, really knew them. No one have a clue what was going on in our home. No one helped my father to see to the blindness that allowed him to live a double life of skill, deception, and duplicity. No one knew how troubled my mother was beneath her encyclopedic knowledge of Scripture. No one knew. We were a Christian family in active participation in a vibrant church, but while we were involved and lacked one of the primary and essential ingredients of healthy New Testament Christianity, a trained, mobilized, and functioning body of Christ. It was Christianity devoid of Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and Hebrews 3, 12, and 13. For much of my Christian life and portion of my ministry, I have no idea that my walk with God was a community project. I have no idea that the Christianity of the New Testament is distinctly relational. From beginning to end, I understood none of the dangers inherent in attempting to live the Christian life on my own. I have no awareness of the blinding power of remaining sin, which was discussed in the last chapter. I have no idea that I was living outside of God's normal means of sightedness, encouragement, conviction, strength, and growth. I have no idea how much consumerism and how little true participation make the body of Christ. I have no idea of the importance of the private ministry of the word to the health of the believer. I have no idea. I have now come to understand that I need others in my life. I now know that I need to commit myself to living in intentionally intrusive, Christ-centered, grace-driven, redemptive community. We need to consider this. It is more than just gather together for a time. It's a way of life. I had no problem, my brother, if you come to me and ask me the hard question. In fact, please ask the hard question. I had the opportunity to spend some time with Pastor couple of days ago. And I asked him directly, do you see anything in my life that I need to correct? he made some comment that I took with me. And I'm working on it. Which he was very healthy. I need my pastor. And I think he needs us. We need one another. I need you. I need your prayers. Without your prayers, it will be tougher. It will be difficult. I need your prayer. Once one preacher said, if we pray the way we criticize, we will be a great church, a powerful church. So, trip, continue. I now know it's my job to seek this community out, to invite people to interrupt my private conversation and to say things to me that I couldn't or wouldn't say to myself. I have realized how much I need warning, encouragement, rebuke, correction, protection, grace, and love. I know I now see myself as connected to others, not because I have made the choice, but because of the wise designs of the one who is the head of the body. This is great. We need one another. When we meet here on Wednesday, we come over here and we declare we need one another. And to hear the prayers of my brothers, the tears that sometimes comes out, and begin to see the need, have a better understanding of how to pray for our church body. We have Hebrews 5:5, and I would like to read before verse 5 in Hebrews 5, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gift and sacrifice for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weaknesses. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifice for sin. And no man takes his honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. And then we get to verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. So, we need one another. I was thinking about this just last night as I was meditating and praying for this morning. You know, I wish I knew this when I started my ministry. But even through that, even to the ignorance of myself concerning those truths, I can say today, God is still faithful. It continues saying, we will also maintain family and private devotions to educate our children in the Christian faith and demonstrate the love of Christ and all of our household relationship. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, Psalm 78, very familiar passages. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. We will also maintain family and private devotions. Brother, our personal devotion, our family devotion should be the norm. Should be the delight. after our hard day of work to get home and just in peace, God's peace, just surrender with your family and God's word and pray for one another and bring others to the table, like we were encouraged early to bring Brother Rosendo, and that was something that I have not seen. Now I see. So Brother Rosendo, I have an invitation for you, so you can come and spend some time with us in our devotional, so you can see us and see our needs and pray for us. Our family devotional should be something that no one should push us to do it. We should do it because it's the right thing to do. It's great. I didn't grow up in an environment like that. Oh, my brothers, young people, be grateful to God for the home that the Lord has given you, for the father and for the mothers the Lord has given to you, and for what they're doing for your benefit. I didn't have that. I didn't have a father who came and prayed for me when I was ready to go to sleep. I didn't have anyone who came to me and read God's words to me. I didn't have any of that. I was 23 years old when God saved me. And at that age, at 23, I have crossed so many lines that God prohibited. But I crossed out of my ignorance and my sinful life style. And God rescued me and gave me life, saved me. Praise the Lord for the privilege that we have and the freedom that we have as a family to get together and worship Him in our devotional. To educate our children in the Christian faith, it is our responsibility to teach God's Word to our children. And for that, we need to study. We need to train ourselves. Ephesians 6, 1-4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. What a great opportunity, wonderful opportunity to train our children and to honor our parents. My father spent the rest of most of his life without taking his responsibility. But he finished well. 4 years before he died, Christ gave him life. And he was saved. I received a call. My father was dying. And by God's grace, I got the opportunity to fly that day. And I didn't make it. And when I got to the funeral home, they were waiting for the priest. And for some reason, the priest didn't show up. I believe it was the providence of God, the sovereignty of God. And I had the opportunity to preach my father's funeral. And there were about 40 professionals there that they knew him, that they never heard the gospel. And I had the opportunity to present to them my Savior, my Redeemer, Christ Jesus. What a blessing. I honor my Father. Even when he was very irresponsible, I honor my father. my time is very much gone, and I still not finished. Let me at least read the rest. We will watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember one another in prayer, to aid one another in sickness and distress, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealing, faithful in our engagement, and exemplary in our department. And then we got all the verses from the Bible, Matthew 19:15-20, Colossians 2:9-10, Ephesians 5:1-2, Ephesians 6:18. We will abstain from gluttony. You know, it's been over 30 years since I've been saved, and I have yet heard a message on gluttony. I wonder why. Drunkenness, illicit drugs, materials, entertainment, or practicing things which jeopardize our own or another faith. You know, I thought about this last night. We don't realize this, but what we do affects others, whether it's positive or whether it's negative. What we do affects others. What a great responsibility we have. This is what we covet. We will cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy and speech. Oh, my brother, that our speech will be the speech that brings honor to Christ. That our speech will be the speech that edify, builds. If we hear anything that destroys, we need to stop it. We really do need to stop it. Strive to avoid all scriptural prohibitions such as tattling, backbiting, and unrighteous anger, to refrain from speaking evil of one another, to be slow to take offense, to think the best of one another, and always ready for biblical reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay so far as depend upon us. This is great. This is great. It has challenged us. And by the way, I heard somebody, I don't know if it was here, who mentioned that he goes through this once a month, at least, just to be refreshed. I recommend go through this once a month, just to be refreshed, to remember that we are here to edify one another, to speak well, to say good things about one another, to build. I don't have time to continue on that point, but let me finish. We will, if necessary, submit to biblical, defined, and regulated church discipline for the purpose of reconciliation with God and man. And we accept that refusing to communicate or to flee is to usurp the power of the church and break this covenant. We will, when we move from this place, if possible, unite with a church which upholds the essential doctrines defined in the church constitution, and where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant. And this is how it concluded. Understanding, and this is what I read when I ask for the membership here at the end of the covenant, understanding and agreeing with the church covenant and the Grace Reformed Baptist Church Constitution, I commit myself. And brother, let me ask you for forgiveness for not being faithful to this covenant. I commit myself to this church body. I understand the church policy regarding church discipline outlined in Scripture, and I consent to be bound by that. I hope you see this as a great protection to one another. That has been the case for me. I pray that this has been a source of encouragement like it has been to me. May the Lord be glorified with this. May the Lord protect His bride, and He will. He will protect His bride. He is faithful. He started this great work. He will finish it. Father, I thank You so much that even with my own need, You have spoke to us. You have refreshed our mind concerning our church covenant. Help us to be builders, not destroyers. I pray in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.